Digital Music. Digital Music Trends, Episode 98, 11th of March, 2012. Hello everyone and welcome to Digital Music Trends. This week on the show, an interview with Ed Averdiek, co-founder of the company QSongs, which aims to become a one-stop shop for licensing music efficiently and quickly. But first, a few words about the Music 4.5 event I attended last Thursday. It was an afternoon devoted to exploring the evolution of mobile music from a number of different points of view. Kicked off by Cliff Fluett, who was chairing the event, as it was being held at the offices of the law firm Lewis Silkin, in a few hours we managed to explore a remarkable spectrum of all that is mobile, ranging from music recognition and discovery via Shazam's Will Mills, to analyst insight provided by Mark Mulligan, and then all the way to mobile gaming with Bounce Mobile and making music on mobile devices with Ashley Elson. The event also had two very interesting panels, which, even though they had different overarching objectives, both highlighted the unfortunately still present divide between the rights holders and the developers when it comes to providing easier to access content, and to provide the content in a way that makes the access and the project a success for both sides. In particular, the last panel generated some interesting sparks between Clara Goldsmith, head of creative marketing at Warner Chappell, Michael Breidenbrucker from RJDJ, and Peter Jenner from the audience, who has managed Pink Floyd and The Clash, amongst others. The debate centered around how much the rights holders are willing to risk to explore new ways to monetize the music via mobile, and how much they can open up to developers to close this divide between the two sides. Much was said about the Open EMI initiative as a great first step in the industry, but many longed to see other labels step into this field with their own content in order to create a better and more complete ecosystem. You can find out more about the event on music4.5.com, the 4 and 5 as numbers, and you can take a look at Mark Mulligan's presentation on his site, which is musicindustryblog.wordpress.com. But now let's move on to this week's interview. Okay, I'm really happy to welcome to the show Ed Averdiek. He is the co-founder and CEO of the startup QSongs. So hi, Ed, and thanks for joining me on the show today. We had a few technical difficulties, but we are now on track to record the show. How's it going today?
Yeah, good to meet you, Andrea. Third time lucky, as they say.
Yeah. So let's start by talking about QSongs and where the idea stemmed from. That, of course, is related to your background in the music industry as well.
Yeah, I've been working digital music now for some 10, 12 years and was MD of a company called OD2, which was sold to Nokia as their version of iTunes. At the time, I met Peter Gabriel, who was an investor in OD2. And after working with Nokia, after we sold it to Nokia, Peter then invited me to come and work with him and the team at Real World, looking at their publishing and recorded music areas. And this idea came out of that time because we were looking at how, with marketing budgets moving gravitationally towards the internet, how that opened up a huge opportunity for users who hitherto, frankly, had never been able to license commercial music easily. Yep. And we felt our fundamental assumption that if you made it easy for people to license music and if you charged a relatively reasonable amount of money for it, that would open up a huge new client base. Of long-tail users who new to the music business, bringing new royalties into the business, and that was a great opportunity.
Yeah. And one of the key things about QSongs is that you're actually targeting music that is commercial, that has been released on labels usually, and that is just underserviced by the sync departments of the labels that it currently sits with. So that's a really interesting perspective, because the licensing departments are focusing on charting tracks, on gold catalog, but they don't have the time to actually go and market a huge range of other tracks that are probably really high quality, great tracks, but not as easily syncable.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think that you know, what is clear is there's only a limited amount of slots in what I call the business class licensing area these days. So there's a huge business now in what we call business class licensing for TV ads, films, and broadcasts. But that still really only touches a small proportion of catalogues. And what we wanted to do, I mean, we have... Real World had some amazingly produced records, very respectable artists, and you know, we wanted to bring those kind of copyrights out of the cellar and give them a canvas. So that's why we think, that's another reason why we think there's a great opportunity for rights holders, is opening up their entire catalogues and enabling people to easily license them.
Yeah. On the publishing side, you know, on the master side, it's fairly easy to make the deal with the label in terms of getting the tracks on the service. On the publishing side, are you concentrating on tracks that maybe sit 100% with specific publishers, or that are held 100% by the label on both sides, or are you actually going out and making the deals yourselves?
Well, to be honest, both. I mean, what we're trying to do is knit together a very credible catalogue. Obviously, there are some rights holders, and increasingly so, that own both masters and publishing. But obviously, there are the majority of copyrights are where you've got the master with a record company and the song with the publisher. So it's a huge knitting together exercise, and that's part of the challenge. I mean, as I say, I think that the reception we're getting is largely positive, because, you know, we're very much we're not trying to interfere with the existing licensing landscape. We're not trying to play in the if you like the big money game of TV ads and all of that. We're purely focused on the long tail, and frankly, bringing in clients who are out of reach up until now.
Of course. And, you know, there's not just the play of how the service works, but it's also how the service is presented. You have a really slick website with a great way of browsing and filtering through music, and also provide additional services. Like, for example, I was pretty impressed by seeing that you can upload videos onto the Qsongs website and actually try out some of the music you have, or all of the music you have, against that video to see what works best. So how did you develop that part of it? And, you know, what were your key objectives in terms of the design for the website?
I mean, my key objective was to test this concept out as soon as was humanly possible, because we had an assumption that we had a great idea here, that the long-tail market would appreciate signed music from signed well-known artists or signed repertoire. And frankly, the most important thing as far as I was concerned was to get a market read on that. You know, we've put together, that's why we've done a beta. We appreciate it's not the finished article by any means, but we think that the service that we've launched is easy to navigate through, and people understand it and will be able to find a track relatively easily. And obviously, as we start hearing back from the market and what they want and the way they use these kind of services, we can then evolve them accordingly. And it's quite interesting when you do, you know, even in the last 2 weeks, we've started getting feedback from clients that we thought, yeah, that's a really interesting sector of the market that I hadn't thought about. A lot of educational establishments, lot of universities. Are really interested, a lot of very small businesses and production companies. And so we've started thinking in different ways of, you know, even since we've launched the beta, and that's why it's such a useful phase of the business.
And who are your clients right now? Are you reaching out yourselves to production companies, you know, small filmmakers, in order to get them to use the service?
Yeah, so what we've done is we've launched this thing which is called an invited beta. We've invited groups of users from the agency world, from the film production world, video production, brands, and then just put it out there on the internet and said, look, please sign up for the beta and apply, and we'll bring you in. And it's that area which we're seeing, if you like, those are those are the people that are quite are very difficult to reach and so are silent. And so we're hearing back from them for the first time. And that's what's really good about this exercise is, yes, there are people that we know that we can talk to face and ask about how this can solve their problems. But then there's a whole ream of people who have come to us and said, look, tell us more. Can you give us a try? So that's why this is good.
And you also have a work in progress iPad app that is quite cool. You showed me like a little bit of how it's going to work. And that's another way to make the experience for your customers as user-friendly as possible, you know, so they can check out music on the go, they can do searches against known artists to find similar tracks. It's just a usability thing, really.
The whole point of it is to make it as easy as possible. Yeah. And obviously apps are very immensely usable and immersive devices. So yeah, it seemed natural to us that we should explore that as a user interface. So yes, watch this space, but we're quite excited about that.
Yeah, that's great. And I was just talking about price points. How did you negotiate that? I know that you might have, you know, better known acts and lesser known acts on the platform, and a lot of different types of licenses, different uses, different durations. Was it a fairly difficult process to negotiate that, structure the price points, and also get all the rights holders on board to agree to that?
It's an ongoing process. So again, this is part of what we're trying to do with the beta, is to really work out where the market sweet spots are. You know, what I would say is that our approach is that effectively we are a retailer, and one of the jobs of retailers is they set the price. So what we've looked for is, or what we're doing at the moment is, any track, be it you know, a huge artist or a up and coming band, for a particular usage, they're charged at the same level. And that was the approach that iTunes took when they first launched their product however many years ago. And what that does is it means that consumers can very quickly get their heads around a new proposition. And once people accept that and understand it a lot better, then you can start becoming a lot, if you like, more sophisticated about the way that you price, and that could come down the line. But as I say, one of the fundamental things to do at the moment is just keep it as easy as possible. And so where we price differently, so depending on your usage, you will pay a different fee. Depending on the term, you will use a different fee. Depending on the territory, you will pay a different fee. But apart from that, yeah, it's entirely democratic. Everyone's priced at the same level. And to me, it's kind of like, the analogy is, well, Bill Gates goes into Tesco's, he pays the same for a newspaper as someone like me. And clearly, you know, retailers don't size up their clients as they come into a shop and say, he can afford more, so I'm gonna. So that's the approach we're taking at this point. And obviously we'll evolve it as we get better experience in the marketplace.
Yeah, and the service has only been, you know, launched from Medium, really, in this beta period. Do you already see a light at the end of the tunnel in terms of like a more open beta process for people to be able to join? And if anybody's listening to the show that would like to try out the service, is there any way that they can check it out?
Yes. So to answer that last question first, if you go to the Qsongs website, then you can apply to join the beta program, and that we'll then send a sign-in detail. We've had a great reaction to our launch, and I'm very excited about it. It's a long journey. I've done this type of thing before, but building businesses, which are kind of new frontiers, and, you know, it takes a long time. And So, you know, we're knuckling down, hopefully, for the long term.
That's great. Well, thanks a lot for coming on to the show. And the website is qsongs.com.
Great.
Cool. So people should go and check out the website. There's also quite a few articles that have been written on the company in the past couple of months. So if you just do a Google search, you'll find quite a few things, from The Verge to many more music and tech blogs. So thanks a lot for your time, and look forward to seeing what's going to happen with the company.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Great talking to you.
Well, I really hope you enjoyed the show. I'm going to be at South by Southwest this coming week, so expect one or two extra episodes of Digital Music Trends coming your way, hoping that I can get at least a couple of interviews done over there. Have a great week, and till next time. Digital Music.